Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. Now, every once in a while, Becky suggests things for me to wear. And I'm wearing pink, I believe I am today. Is this right?
Fuchsia.
That's so bad. She did, one time, though, I'm shade blind, so colors don't really mean anything to me, but a few weeks ago, she picked out something, and what I didn't know is that she was wearing the same color. And so everywhere we went, oh, y'all look so cute. I was so disgusted and embarrassed. So I am wearing pink because she picked it out, but that won't happen again anytime soon. Anyway, I'm Rusty, so whether you're on campus or online, we're really glad we can be together. And later in the week, there'll be some watching on demand. This is Mother's Day, and it's we try to be careful with that here at New Hope, because while there are a lot of great moms and we want to celebrate the mothers in our lives, there are a lot of people that this is a tough day for them. It may have been that they didn't have much of a mother or parents in general. There's some that have wanted to be mothers and couldn't. And we want to be respectful of that. There's, when you came in, I think in the lobby they were selling carnations. That's not just for mothers, that's for anybody. And the proceeds of all that are going to our a meal project with Feed My Starving Children, so it's not like we're making money on it. But if you have someone you'd like to get a carnation for, they'll be doing that after the service here. So we've been in this series on the Ten Commandments. And we've been looking at this. We've covered the first four. I'll give you a short review because they set the stage for the next six. Commandment number one, you should not have any other God. That means that God wants to be exclusive in our relationship with Him. He doesn't want to share top billing. When you come into a relationship with Him, He's not one of many. He is the one. Second, you must not make for yourselves an idol of any kind. You know, sometimes we get this idea that the people that came before us, they were so ignorant. And they carve wood or stone or stuff like that, and they worship those as gods. We do the same thing. And when they had those, they were using those to try to get an advantage. Even there were people that worshiped God, but they would also add the others trying to hedge their bets or get some extra. You and I do the same thing. We have diplomas on our wall because that's going to get us something that we think we deserve. We're going to have, you know, it's our career, it's our family, it's what we own. It's they're all kind of things that become idols in our life. And God says, don't do it. You don't need anyone but me. Third, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. There are some people that, using the old translation, it says, don't take the God's name in vain. They say, well, as long as I don't say GD, I'm okay. That's such a tiny part of any of that. It just means don't misrepresent Him. If you carry His name, represent Him well. And never use His name to get an advantage for yourself. And then last week, Brandon Bennett did a great job looking at this idea of keeping the Sabbath holy. The idea of Sabbath, the word just means to stop and rest. And the Bible says that God spent, he worked 6 days and He took the seventh day as a day of rest, and He wants you and I to do the same thing. So we need to put other things on hold so we have a chance to stop, rest, recuperate, connect with Him, connect with others, and not be so caught up in the rat race that we miss out on what's important in our lives. And these first four, they primarily focus on our relationship with God. And they become the foundation for these next six. If I miss these first four, I'm not going to be able to do the others well. And the next six have to do with our relationship with each other. And we've got work to do, but if you don't have the right foundation, you're not going to know how to do it. We won't have guardrails. We won't have any real understanding. I want to spend just a minute with this. Jesus explained this to us. We see this a few times in the New Testament. And He responded to a critic in an odd way. He was constantly being challenged. There are people, just like today, they're hoping to catch Him publicly messing up so they could take a soundbite and use it against Him. This happens all the time in our culture. We didn't invent it. We just tried to perfect it. And this one day, Jesus is being caught. I'm going to read this to you. It says, An expert in religious law tried to trap him with this question. There's a big crowd, everyone's listening. He said, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? In other words, of the 10, pick your favorite." Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." That's not one of them, by the way. He said, "This is the first and greatest commandment." It encompasses those first four we've looked at. He said, "And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." He didn't pick one. He didn't give in to it. What he did is he gave an executive summary of all 10. And he wanted it to be clear. There was no one could pick apart what he said. And what he said was absolutely right. He goes, "You need to love God with all you are, because everything else from your life flows from that. If you get this right, you're in good shape. And now you'll be able to do the other, which is equally important. That is loving your neighbor as yourself." I don't know how to love until I really understand how God loves me. Where do you learn about grace and mercy and forgiveness and kindness? You learn that from your Creator God, and now you have something to offer others. It was a brilliant answer, and it's spot on. If you ever want that summary of what these Ten Commandments are, it's loving God with all I am and loving my neighbor as myself. I do that, I'm in good shape. Understanding the second section requires following the first. And so we're going to start with commandment number 5. It says, "Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land your Lord God is giving you." There's a lot in this. It's very short. But I hope you'll stick with me through this. Even if some of you are cringing right now. You think, "You don't know my parents." I didn't get an amen at 9. Nothing was thrown at me either, so I feel like I won. Well, stick with me on this. Honoring our parents is a gift we offer them out of respect for our God. Honoring our parents is a gift. It doesn't say they earned it. Honoring our parents is a gift that we offer them out of our overriding respect for God our Father. Remember the context. The first four commandments, how I relate to God. And now we're on these 6, starting with number 5, how we relate to each other. Honor, I'm going to give you a definition. This is from the Holman Bible Dictionary. It says, honor means to recognize the value of someone and to act accordingly. Recognizing the value of someone has to do with both the person and the position that they hold. I'll give you an example. So this week, I went down to South Carolina to see my mom. My mom lives in a nursing home with a specialty in memory care. She has Alzheimer's. She has now for 6 or 7 years. I try to go every 2 months to see her, sometimes more. She has no idea who I am. When I walk in, she will light up, but I don't know if that's because she thinks I'm bringing dessert. She would never know. You could give her a list of 10 names and she wouldn't know mine. But there is some recognition somewhere in there. She knows I love her and she loves me, but she doesn't ask any questions. Her memory's pretty much gone. She doesn't even have past memories. So when I go to see her, I tell her the same stories over and over again. I always bring her a hot chocolate. She did not forget that she loves hot chocolate. And she will not let it down until it's empty. You have to get her the big size at Starbucks because the little ones don't last very long. And so this time what I did is, because she can't walk anymore, I take her in a wheelchair and I wheel her down all the different aisles. And then we ended up at a just outside courtyard. But going down the aisles, and I come up to a picture, said, "Do you know what that is?" And she'll look at it and, you know, has no clue what it is. She did see one that she kind of recognized, but she couldn't say piano. She just, again, the mind's, Alzheimer's is a despicable disease. But we were going along, and then we came down this one row, and one of them, there was a picture of an airplane, and then the next one was a motorcycle. And that brought back a lot of memories for me. This honoring your father and mother, the first 20 years of my life, I had perfected dishonoring your father and mother. I was deliberate about it. I mean, I was very clearly, I was angry at my dad constantly. I resented my mom. And I put them through, in a lot of ways, I think there is a time they would probably both say I put them through hell. There were times that I would disappear for weeks at a time. They'd never have any idea if I was still alive or not. There were times when the police brought me home. There were times when they had to go find me. I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of, and it, when you're a parent and you have a kid that you don't have any control over and you don't know what's going on with them, it just tears your heart out. I will say this, though, that I do give myself a lot of credit for strengthening my mom's prayer life. She became a prayer warrior thanks to me. So when we get to heaven, I'm going to remind her of that and get some credit. Anyway, so when I became a Christian, it was a big deal. I went from being this whatever I was to actually being literally a brand new person. My relationship with my dad and my mom changed literally overnight. They were so glad to have me, and they hoped it wouldn't wear off. The drinking, drugging, all that kind of stuff was gone. The police never brought me home. And so things were good. And then I had been a Christian about 3 or 4 months, and I had decided that I was going to get a motorcycle. I knew exactly what I wanted. I had found the exact model I wanted. And I was in Richmond, Virginia. I was driving on Forest Hill Avenue, heading to go buy the motorcycle. And then this thought crossed my mind. If you ever wonder if the Holy Spirit exists, I am convinced the Holy Spirit does, because this thing came to my mind at the most inopportune moment. And it was this: honor your father and mother. I'd never done that, never thought about it. Never crossed my mind until that day on Forest Hill Avenue heading to buy my motorcycle. And it was honor your father and mother, and immediately, would you not buy the motorcycle if your mom didn't want you to have it? I hated that question. Why would I do that to myself? Of course, it was God trying to get my attention, and my mom did not want me to have a motorcycle. I had put her through enough, and now to think that I'm going around on two wheels, probably not wearing a helmet, and I made a commitment that day after talking to her that I would never have a motorcycle unless mom was okay with it. My mom is 95. I still don't have a motorcycle. Honor your father and mother. What does it look like? I had a choice. And that was the first time in my life I had ever seriously considered doing it. And it was the right thing for me to do. There's a principle here that we need to grab hold of, and that is that respecting authority is essential for a strong and healthy society. And the place to learn it is in our earliest and most important classroom, and that's in the home. There's nothing in this verse or this command that says, honor honorable mothers and fathers. It says, honor your mother and father. Because there's something about following authority, there's something about respecting authority that is critical, whether it's a nation, whether it's a community, whether it's a business, for-profit, non-profit, whether it's a military. This idea of respecting leadership, without that, it just leads to anarchy. There's something about this that is really important. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. It doesn't say obey your parents because they're really worth it. No, it doesn't make any difference. Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. This is not a recipe for wellness. It's a general principle that says, if you as a people do this, you're going to create an environment that people will flourish in. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment that had that promise about living long and living in the land God gives. Again, it's not an absolute promise that if I honor my father and mother, I'm going to live to be 100. It's just that this is going to be good for everyone. And it's the right thing to do. Too many times we've missed it. Sometimes it's okay. But sometimes we decide to make up our own rules, go our own way. We didn't invent coming up with excuses about this. There are excuses that appear to justify dishonoring our parents. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this. Again, we learn from Jesus, there was a time he's faced with these critics. They're always trying to trip him up. And in this case, he turns the tables and he goes after them. Public setting, he goes after these religious experts. And he goes, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and mother. And further, anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father and mother must be put to death. That's a serious offense. God apparently values this honoring your parents a lot. Now, that didn't mean there weren't many people that were put to death because of this. They would earn it, and then they could atone for it, and they could be forgiven. But in that culture, this is a serious deal, honoring your parents. He said, but talking to these experts, he said, but you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, oh, sorry, I can't help you, for I've vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. In that culture, they didn't have Medicaid, Medicare, they didn't have Social Security. Generations would live together. The parents would take care of the children. And as the children became adults and the parents were in need, the children took care of the parents. This was standard. But there are some people that have found a workaround. You know, if I help my parents, there's a lot of stuff I'll do without. I won't get that brand new camel I wanted or, you know, whatever they needed back then. And so they came up with this workaround. Oh, I vowed that for God. Mom and Dad, I'd love to help you, but you know, I've set that aside for God's use. I'm going to take care of it for now. But one day it's His. I'd like to help, but I really can't. Jesus said, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. It's only one example of many. There are a few things in this that are really important for us to see. And that is, it is easy for us to justify things because it's what we want and to ignore what God says and to try to make the two work somehow. There's a proverb, Proverbs 16:2 is actually the first verse I ever memorized in the Bible, and it says this, we can always prove that we are right, but is the Lord convinced? I can justify anything. And that's what they had done here. They had justified not taking care of their parents, not honoring their parents. And they come up with a workaround to make it look, oh, I can, you know. And, you know, quite honestly, what they were doing is they were violating commandment number 3. Do not misuse God's name. They were misrepresenting Him, blaming Him for not taking care of their family. And the way we do it now is some of us live far away from our family and we're, oh, man, that's good. Some of us miss them. There's a wide variety of us here. Some of us would, you know, our parents could really use our help, but, you know, I'm just really busy and, you know, I might call every once in a while, but I'm really tied up. You know, I got a lot of work to do. I got kids, I've got all this going on, and we just kind of neglect this honoring our parents because it's inconvenient. Could cost us money, but more often than not, it's going to cost us some time and inconvenience. I don't really want that. Nah, I'll think about them every once in a while. Drop a card on Mother's Day. Maybe Father's Day, but we can come up with ways to justify dishonoring rather than deliberately saying, what does this look like? What does God want me to do? My dad was not a Christian when he taught me about this, and he didn't know he was teaching me, but I learned this as a kid. I grew up in West Virginia, My dad was from South Georgia. He was born in a place called Quitman, a little small town, and then even smaller was Sylvester, Georgia. You've never heard of it. You could drive through it 10 times and not even know you've been there. Tiny little town in Worth County. Every summer, we would drive from West Virginia, 750 miles, to go to my grandparents' house. And all I remember happening there, I got to go fishing with my granddad. But I remember my dad sweating, wearing a headband, and doing yard work for my grandparents the whole time we were there. I never heard him complain, never heard him whine. He said, "What do you need me to do?" And he spent his vacation time there serving his parents. He had no idea that he was leaving a legacy for me. He understood this, honoring your parents, and that's what he did. I am really, really grateful for it. He could have made all kind of excuses. I've only got 2 or 3 weeks vacation. I'm busy. It's a long drive. He just chose to honor him. There's some difficulties with this, and I want to hit these, because we can honor a position without agreeing with the person or supporting what they do. And this is what I want to focus the next few minutes on. Honoring someone doesn't mean agreeing with them. It doesn't mean that you buy into everything they're into. We see that in our country right now, where you can be a citizen of our country and you can disagree with leadership, but you can learn to honor positions. We haven't learned to do it very well, by the way. We really need to. But it starts with our family. Some of you, as soon as you heard this topic, you're saying, it's easy for you to talk about. You had a pretty good family. And I did. Some of you are saying, my parents are horrible. There was neglect. There was abuse. There was absence. I can't believe you're talking about honoring your parents. That was from another day and another age. My parents don't deserve any honor. If they got what they deserved, they'd go straight to hell. There's some that think that right now. Being near my parents would be dangerous for me. It would ruin my mental health and my physical health if I got anywhere near them. That's one of the reasons we've tried to be careful about Mother's Day stuff here, is not just assuming everybody's in the same mindset with that. Not to denigrate mothers, but to be careful that we don't just put everybody in a category. But what do you do with this command? It doesn't say honor your father and mother as long as they're pretty good ones. It says honor your father and mother. Does God not understand it? Was he living in some kind of, is heaven some kind of a Norman Rockwell painting? If being physically around someone could literally make you ill mentally or physically. So here's a couple things about that. Remember, honoring doesn't mean agreeing with. Honoring doesn't mean ignoring bad things or things a person has done. If you are unable to physically, and it wouldn't be right for you to be around a parent where it could be dangerous for you or others, then you shouldn't be around them. That doesn't mean you can't still honor them in some way. You know, you and I can pray for people that we can't be around. We can occasionally write a note and just say, thank you for having me. It may be a small list of things that you can be grateful for, but there's still that possibility. Some of us have parents that are still trying to manipulate us, trying to misuse their position to weasel in on our lives in some way. If that's your case, ask someone you trust, someone you know, say, how can I do this without giving in to manipulation again? How can I honor without supporting something that is really, really wrong and bad? Sometimes the question is, what would be the loving thing for me to do here? I know some people that the loving thing they did for their parent was to call the police on them. Well, that sounds terrible. A drunk parent gets in a car and is going down the road. They're a loaded weapon. The loving thing to do could be to call the police and warn them. Well, that's not honoring. Why not? Then you can go visit them in jail. I'm not making light here. There's a way to do this with integrity, but also being responsible. What we have to be careful of is that we don't slide into, because of wrongs that have been done by parents, we slide into anger and bitterness and then begin totally ignoring as if somehow that gets me off the hook. That's not honoring. But neither is entering into something that could be feeding something bad for me or them. What is the loving thing for me to do? I want to tell you about another friend of mine. Grew up in a terrible home. If you look up the word lousy father, there'd be a picture of his dad in Webster's. His dad was mean, he was abusive, he was a drunk. As soon as he was old enough to move away, he couldn't wait, and he did. Moved to another state, built his own life, was doing pretty well, got married, decided to invite his dad to the wedding, but with this caveat: if you show up drunk, I will not let you in. Can you imagine, and some of you have had to do this, where the child's telling the parent that? But that's what happened. Years went on, my friend, they had a couple kids, and he started realizing he had been very distant from his dad. His dad was not, I mean, he's still just a lousy guy. But he thought, you know, I need to figure out what this honoring my parent is. So he took some small steps of initiative, would reach out, sometimes would hear back, sometimes wouldn't. Got to where occasionally he would drive down to another state to see his dad. Ended up taking his kids with him, and they got to see a grandparent, small chunks of time, but it was kind of okay. It looked like things were getting better, and he had figured out how to honor his father without getting too caught up in the weeds with it. And things were actually going well. His father was having some health issues, and it really looked like this was going well. And then he goes down to visit not long ago, and the dad wouldn't even see him. Just said, get the H out of here. I don't have anything to do with you. He'd just gotten mean again, ugly, mean, yelling. What do you do with that? Still try to figure out how to honor a parent and leaving a legacy for his kids. You don't give up on people, but you don't play a fool either. It hasn't worked out yet, might not. But at least he's trying to honor his parent. You know, some of us have no idea what influence we could have by showing God's love and his kindness and his truth to people around us that don't deserve it. The issue is not deserving. The issue is what is needed. And looking for a way to show that. Some of you are parents here, and you're like my friend's dad. You made a shipwreck of your family. They don't want anything to do with you, and if you're honest, you know why. What do? Beg them? Plead with them? Buy them stuff? First thing to do would be to just admit the part you've played in it without sugarcoating it. I've been a lousy parent. And then deciding from that going forward, you're going to do the best you can to be the best example you can be of someone that follows Jesus. You may never get a hearing. You can't force that. But you can do something. It's never too late to start doing the right thing. Some of you have neglected parents for years and years and years. Some of you, your parents are gone, and all you do is talk about how bad they were. That's not honorable either. Honoring our parents, whether you've done it or not, you can start right now and figure out, I wonder what God wants me to do in the midst of this. I wonder what my responsibility is. Start where you are. If you need to, ask forgiveness. Never demand, never put pressure, but start now. I want to go back to a key understanding that we looked at, and then we'll close. It's honoring our parents is a choice that reflects our reverence for God, not the value of our parents in specific. There's a verse here that you may not have seen in a while, and it gets missed a lot. This is in 2 Timothy, a senior pastor's writing to one of the guys he has trained in ministry, pastoring a church. And he said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God." And listen to this, "disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred." You and I have been called by God to live different kind of lives. This idea of honoring our parents, it's a requirement. If I follow Jesus, this has got to be part of my life. I got to figure out how. And if I don't know how, I need to ask some people that have got wisdom, people that will support me and help me know, how do I do this without putting myself or my family in jeopardy? But how do I do this? What is it like? How do I restart? If I've screwed up, how do I make a fresh start and move forward now? We got a little work to do. Let's do it. Let's pray together. God, you know exactly where every one of us here or online are. You know our circumstances. You know, for some of us, these holidays, Mother's, Father's Day, they're great. We love hanging out. We have all kind of, we build more great memories together. And that's really good. But there are also many of us that there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot we missed. There's a lot that is still painful. And you understand that. You know, some of us would have given anything to have at least one good parent. We would have loved to not have the memories we carry of neglect or abuse. But you have promised to be the perfect parent for us. You accept us as we are. You love us. You forgive us. You give us a new start. You provide for us. You care in a way that no earthly parent ever could. And now you've called us to honor our fathers and mothers. God, please help us. Help us to know how to do that individually, but how we can come alongside and help each other to do that well. Show us what it means to take this command seriously and to recognize that it's not just good for us and our family, but it is good for all of the people around us. If we can learn to honor and respect authority, we might give our nation and our world a model that could drastically change the trajectory we're on. Help us today and this week to figure out what our responsibility is in this and to do it well. In Christ's name, amen.